Okay, we're up to Perigud, Pasik, Pasik Gimel. Lo Yarim Hashem Nefesh Sadik, V'chavas, V'havas, V'shom Yadav. We'll to Pasik, we'll go further, I'm sorry, let's go further to Pasik Vav. No, even further, Pasik Zayin says, Zechet Sadik Levroch, V'shem Misham Yirkan. Before we go further, I just want to point out a few things I left out. We'll just go back to Pasik, Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, we learn Mishle Shlomo ben Chacham Yisamachov uvein Kisil Tugas Ima. I forgot to mention this important Chazal, this Yerushalmi. The word Tugas means the sorrow. How does the word Tugas come to mean the word sorrow? So the Yerushalmi says where Tugas really should be interchanged with the letters of the Atbash. Okay, in the Atbash system, each letter is interchanged with the opposite end of the Aleph. So the Tav is interchanged with an Aleph. The Vav is interchanged with the letter Pei. The Gimel is interchanged with the letter Resh. And the Tav, again, is also interchanged with an Aleph. So from the word Tugas turns into Afra, or Ephra, which means dust. And this is a concept which Chazal think the battery on my thing is dead. The battery is, it's not working. Does it work? Oh, it works. Okay. The Aleph is interchanged. This word Tugas is interchanged with the word Afra. Afra means dust. So we go back to Pascal and it says Yisamach bein Shlomo bein Chacham Yisamach bein Kesil Tugas Imo. It means a foolish child is earth to the mother. What do you mean, earth to the mother? It means earth in her eyes. I'll read you what it says over here in the Yerushalmi. Tugasimo Amar Beluda Lishon Gematriahu Lishon Gematriahu. Gematria here means Gematria means over here that we're going to in different system of the Alapes. Ephra Be'ene Ima. Dust in the eyes of his mother. When a child gives his mother agmas nefesh, it's in Chazal's terminology that the child is putting dust in her eyes. The eyes are the most sensitive part of the body. When a person can't see, a person is suffering from a poor eyesight, that takes away his entire chias. So here the word tugas, the way we know it means sorrow, is because we exchange each letter of the word tugas with the atbash letters. Tugas turns into afra. This is the Yerushalmi. This is not a Chassidish Shavar. This is Yerushalmi in Masechta Tainus.
I understand, except it's not Afar, it's probably Afar.
Afra. Because Afra. And yeah.
Otherwise it would be with an Ayin.
Okay, the Aleph and the Ayin, the Aleph and the Ayin are often interchanged, especially in Aramaic. So that's one thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to mention. Okay, now going back, let's go back, and I'll just go jumping ahead of things, there's some things I left out. Lo Yarv Hashem Nefesh Tzadik, V'chav Havas V'shem Yedoif. This is one of the sources that Chazal, the Medrash Mishle, uses. We mentioned this idea before, that when a person, nothing that he learns in this world is forgotten. Everything that a person studies, every experience a person has is stored in his mind, and in the next world, it's all recalled. They tell us, even the scientists tell us this, that today, we use just a teeny fraction of our mind. The power of the mind is beyond our belief, what we can imagine, and we just use a small power of the mind. Everything that you see, everything that you experience is preserved in the mind. And this indeed is one of the sources for that halacha. Pasuk Gimel, Lo Yarv. Can you close the door? Okay, that's the only one. When you go in the back room and we could hear everything you say. So when you go in, please try to keep it down a little bit.
So maybe when you turn the shear around, sound is better
there. No. Okay, so we have here this idea that when a person leaves this world, he should not think that all of his experiences in this world have disappeared. and have been forgotten, they all come back. I'll read the words of the Gemara. This is the Medrash in Mishlei. Zeh Talmud Chacham Shekol Zman Shemesasik V'Chay Mitoch Divrei Torah Im Nesalei Mimenu Dover Echad BePerik Echad Mitalmudo. If a Talmud Chacham forgets something, and that's only natural, the Bakalash Baruch Hu made that a person does indeed forget things, that's a good thing to forget. So we would remember every single thing that we do in this world, we would go out of our mind. But unfortunately, if we don't remember things that are important, that is not a good thing. So the Talmud Chacham, he forgets his learning. B'shas, here the Medrash says, B'shas pitirosai min ha'olam einoi nifta min ha'olamoi ad shemalachei hasharetz bon v'soidrim oitzo lufanov. The malachei hasharetz come when the person dies and they arrange all of his memories. And the Medrash Mishlei quotes this very pasuk to teach us this point, that a person's memories, although they may have been forgotten in this world or not, are restored. Lo yarif Hashem nefesh tzadik. Hashem does not hunger cause starvation to the soul of the tzaddik. The soul is the neshama when it leaves this world. It's not going to be hungry, even though when it comes there at the last moment of his life, he doesn't remember anything, he doesn't remember his learning. And the next world, food is Torah. The more Torah you have, the more you'll have what to eat. The tzaddik will not be hungry, because all of his learning will be there for him, even though he may have forgotten in the latter part of his life. It's a very scary place. I mean, we all know hypnosis. Today it's a big thing. Hypnosis, go back to the videotape, and you have a record, recall of every little thing, every little detail. It's an amazing world we live in today. I'll give you a marshals. We installed at home, because of a certain issue, a video camera in front of the house to record everything that goes on. So it's just amazing how many things, since we've installed this little device, how frightening, how useful it's been. Just 2 days ago, I had an important package. We were waiting for an important package, and it never came. Went online, I looked up, tracking device, and FedEx claims.
They dropped?
It came, they dropped it off, and they left it on the porch. That's what I would have assumed. That would be case closed. Case closed is that someone dropped it off, and there was no requirement for a signature. That was the arrangement. That was not my decision. The one who sent it decided that. Too bad for me. It would have been case closed. But because I had a video, I went to the videotape. I went to that time frame and that exact moment. And no one came, no one. The only thing is, at the exact moment when they claimed they delivered the package, there was a FedEx truck that drove in front of the house. So I told this to the service people, and they basically said, I have the smoking gun. I can prove to you that no one came. I have the videotape. And one thing I can tell you, it's bizarre, is there is a FedEx truck passing. So because of the video, they now have, they said, we're responsible. We will, you have the proof, and we're opening up a case, an investigation, and it's pending. It's a serious, but I only got to that step because of the camera.
Otherwise, they would never believe.
They would never believe. They would say, okay, because we had another story like this a couple of months ago, where, sorry, it says here that it was delivered, and this is the law, this is the rule. It was delivered.
He has to drive by because his signature pad has GPS. So if he says I delivered it, don't know exactly if it was there or not.
So this, to me, is a very powerful Musa Haskel. I mean, like, you know, we all know we have cameras, we have audio, but Ayin Roye, V'Oizen Shamas, V'Chol Masech, V'Sefer Nechtavim. If that's what's true for what I can do for someone, you can imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for all of us. Every mice, every little thing that happens in this world is recorded, that is alluded to here in this pasuk, according to the Medrash Mishlei. Okay, we're dealing over here 3,000 years before technology. It says here, the neshama will not be hungry. Every thing that it saw and experienced will be recalled. Yeah.
Once Rav Karlach once said that the definition of Gehenna will be to have your videotape of your life.
Yeah, exactly. They have, I saw recently, this is an amazing thing. They have a device, it's a very popular device, you just put it on your body. It takes a picture, I think it takes a picture, one picture per minute, or you have different settings, so one picture every 5 minutes. And then when the day is over, you plug in the little device into your computer, and you watch the whole day, snapshots of your whole day, like a diary of your day, in 60 seconds. In 60 seconds, you basically, chazes for you, snapshots from you. You don't even realize it's not. You just put on, you put it on like a pin in your jacket, and every 2 minutes, or every minute, whatever it is, it takes a picture, a snapshot. And then it plays it back when the day is over. To chazer over, how did you spend your day? Like you're saying, it's pretty scary.
Rabbi Michal said, the guy who does tshuva, you, if someone does tshuva, that means the averis get wiped out. That means there's going to be gaps in the tape, like the Nixon tapes.
Okay, let's go to another chazal. Another chazal. What?
When you're born, the mouth gives you a pinch, you should forget.
Yeah.
I could really use one of these, you know, because I'm always forgetting when I put something down where it is. You have this little thing.
Yeah. You don't realize it's on you. Okay, they say, I once mentioned you, there's a book called, I forgot, it's a yellow book called The Afterlife. It was written by a Talmud of, one of the Kamenetsky, there's a Rashiva today in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia yeshiva of Shmuel Kamenetsky's son. Do you know his name? He gave shiurim to Balabatim about the afterlife, all these mystical things. So one of the students, he basically reviewed all the shiurim and he published it. He published it in a book. It's very, very, that was the book that I told him that it says that in the Olam HaEmes, no one has elbows.
Yeah, yeah.
No one has elbows. So how do you eat? So how do you, if you don't have an elbow, you have to feed someone else. So if you're not accustomed to helping someone feed you, yeah, then in the next world, that's a mashal. So there it also, he mentions this idea that in this world, one of the brachos in this world is that the person is mitzamtzem. What you see, the person sees in one moment, you see everything, you hear everything, you see everything, you sing an infinite amount of information. The bracha that we're able to survive in this world, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is mitzamtzem. There's an enormous amount of interference in our senses, which allows us to block out 99.9 of what we're taking in order to give us the ability to concentrate just on one little thing. Because we're seeing and we're hearing so many things at one moment in time, we would go out of our minds. Information, exactly. So in the next world,
they block out a lot less.
The block had a lot. So it says there in this book, I don't know where all the source that when the neshama separates from the body, no longer does the neshama have that protection to limit what it takes in. It takes in everything. There's no interference. No filter, exactly. There's no filter, and there's information overload. And it takes an entire year in what we, and I don't know how we could define time, but that's what it says. That's what the year of Avelus. The year of Avelus is when the neshama adjusts to this new reality of the filter has been removed. And it now has to deal with processing and reviewing all of the information from its entire existence in every single moment. And that's a very painful experience, especially when a person did not conduct his life according to what the Torah says. And that is the Gehenna, that is the pain of Gehenna, and that's what takes what we relate to in this world as a year of time when we try to comfort the neshama when it goes through this experience. Okay, but over here the pasuk does say that it is a very powerful idea. Lo yarif Hashem nefesh tzaddik. Hashem does not starve the neshama of the tzaddik. The tzaddik, when the neshama leaves, it's in a state of tzaddik because it's left with nothing. When a person gets old, he forgets everything. He will not be hungry. Everything will be restored. Okay, let's go to another idea in pasuk. Things that we left out. Pasuk dal and pasuk hey. Pasuk hey. We discussed oiger. It says the pasuk oiger b'kayitz bein maskil nirdam b'kotzer bein mevish. According to the Yalkut Shmoini, this chazal refers to the idea of reviewing, to review your learning, something that's a very important thing. I'll read you the exact words of the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Yechai Omer, Moshe L'Shnei Achim, two Achim Misaglim, two merchants, two brothers who are merchants. B'nichse Aviyim Echad Mitzaref Dinar V'Oichloi V'Echad Mitzaref Dinar Manicha. They are two different. One brother, he would earn a few dollars and immediately go out to the market, go out to the store and spend the money. And the other brother wood, all the money that he earned, he put away in his savings account. And after, the Midrash goes on to say, then after a period of time, when they got older, the one that was irresponsible, every moment he had, he just spent it, he had nothing. The one that collected all of his money, he put away the money in his savings account, he had parnasa, he had sustenance, he was able to survive his old age. So that's...
Depends on your inflation rate, though.
Depends on your pension, inflation rate, and welfare program, and all then Social Security, and all of the other good things that was zeicha to, Baruch Hashem. But the Medrash over here says that this pasuk is, that's exactly what this pasuk says. Oiger bakayitz bein maskil, nirdam bakotze bein mevish. But the Medrash interprets the reference to learning Torah. If a person, he learns, with both of these brothers, they're involved in business. They both earn. They both make money. The only difference is, one of them, whatever he earns, he puts away. That, according to the Medrash, the Yalkut Shmoni is a marshal for a Talmud Chacham that reviews what he learns. If he will review what he studies, he reviews it. And when the day is over, he puts it away for safekeeping. Then, when he'll get old, when the time will come to leave the world, he will have with him an accumulation of an enormous amount of wisdom. But the person who just earns, again, he's working just as hard as the other brother. He's learning, he's acquiring knowledge, but he spits it out. And spitting it out is, you don't spend time reviewing the learning. That here, it's a very powerful expression, we're calling him a bein mevish, a child, a person who's shameful, someone who does not review what he learns, according to the Yalkut Shmoni, is a shameful person. You're acting in a foolish, irresponsible way. Just as we can appreciate this when it comes to parnasa, a person does not put away money for later on. He spends all of his earnings, is a fool, is a shameful person. It's no difference when it comes to learning Torah. You learn a Daf Gemara, you learn a Mishnah, you learn a Pasuk in Mishlei, and you don't spend the time reviewing what you've learned. Easy come, easy go. This is what the Medrash says, a bein mevish, the bein maskil. The wise son is the one that is ogir bakayitz, he stores away through chazara. Okay, let's go to another pasuk. The next idea is, next pasuk with another chazal of that is pasuk vav. Brochos l'roish tzadik. Who is the tzadik? Ufi rishon yichas hachamas. So of course, simply this refers to human beings. Who is the tzadik? So according to one Medrash, this refers to Yitzchak. And the emphasis of this Medrash Rabbah is brochos b'loshon rabim. And the Medrash goes on to say is that a person should not think, when you get one bracha, a person should realize that the bracha is matched. We all know what a matching program is in the fundraising industry. For every dollar you give, someone will give another dollar. I got a message from Google. I just got them on. They have control over your computer, Google. When you go to their homepage, it says for every dollar you give to Ebola, Google will give $2. Matching program. So that's what the Medrash says here when it comes to a bracha. That when a person receives a bracha from one tzaddik, there is some type of supernatural effect where it will be matched by someone else. And the marshal that's given over here is Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave all of the brachos. Let me read you what it says here. Shekol ha-brachos. I'm sorry, not even Yaakov. Who was the one who gave the brachos to Yaakov? Yaakov took the brachos from Yitzchak. Esav was meant to get the brachos. But Yaakov went in disguise and tricked his father to giving him the brachos. So here the Medrash goes on to say, and he used this pasuk as a source, Shekol ha-brachos sheberach Yitzchak is Yaakov. All of the blessings that Yitzchak bestowed upon Yaakov, kenegdoi, corresponding to that, it was a matching program. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, connected Beruchoi Hakadosh Baruch Hu Milamala. Hashem also blessed Yaakov, and furthermore, the Af Rivka Imo Berachtoi Kinegdan, and Rivka also gave brachas. When one person opens up the faucet to give bracha, that has an effect, either a supernatural effect, or maybe an effect of Derech HaTeva, or other people chime in. If you see that a certain person is a recipient of a bracha from a tzaddik, that's a haskama. And then everyone else latches on, and they also give brachas. And that we find by Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave the bracha to Yaakov, so Hashem also gave Yaakov bracha. Rivka gave bracha. Everyone in the community gave Yaakov the brachas, not giving bracha to Esav. And the makar for this is this very pasuk. Birachos. Birachos is Biloshon Rabin. So it doesn't just mean simply you give a person 10 brachas. It means a person gives a bracha and you give one bracha. You go for a tzaddik for a bracha. You never heard you go to a tzaddik for brachas. You go for a tzaddik for a bracha. He may break up his bracha into multiple parts, but each individual is called a bracha. Once one tzaddik gives a bracha, then it opens up a matching program, and that's a dig birachos. Multiple blessings come l'rosh tzaddik. Because of this concept of a matching program, dollar for dollar. Okay, another idea. There's a medrash in Tehillim that says that the tzaddik here is not referring to a person; it's referring to the tzaddikoi shel olam. It's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are a few midrashim that actually say this, the idea in a different way, but it's referring to Hashem berachos. Blessings, meaning, will come l'rosh, to who? To Hashem. Who is the one that gives the blessings? It's the Malach, I'll read you the whole Medrash in Tehillim, HaMalach Shumamun Al HaTfilu Humamtin Ad Shem Ispaleles Kinisa V'Oise Achroina Shem Yisrael V'Oise Mehem HaTorah V'Noisna B'Rosh HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malach waits until all of the shuls finish davening, all of the individuals finished davening, he collects all of the tefillos, and he creates a crown, and he brings this crown to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he puts it upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head. There are some songs like this. I think one of the famous composers, he made a song like this in English, with English lyrics, a very beautiful song, which really is rooted in this medrash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah is a crown for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's based on this medrash in Tehillim, and the brachos, the blessings, come l'rosh to as a crown upon the head of the tzaddik, the tzaddikoi shel olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, then there's one more. Okay, now we go to okay, let's go to the next. Let's go now to the next pasuk. We discussed yesterday a lot about Zecher Tzadik Levrach of Hashem Hashem Yirkav. A few more short ideas. One interesting idea is that when it comes to the Tzadik, it says Baruch, it says Balashon Yachid Zecher Tzadik, a single Tzadik Levrach. However, when it comes to the Rishoyim, it's Balashon Rabin. The shame Rishoyim Yirkov, there are multiple Rabin. Dr. Friedman, maybe the sound is because the battery is dead on this? Is there maybe another battery? I'm sorry to bother you. What?
Or the wire?
But the battery is, or sometimes when the battery went dead, it makes sound sometimes. Okay, let's go from the shame. This is a very nice Chazal. A tzaddik, every tzaddik is merited in his own right. Zecher tzaddik livracha. When it comes to the Rishoim, take note that it says the shame Rishoim v'loshon rabim. That not only are the Rishoim, are they remembered, are they cursed, that may their name rot. More than just being cursed, their name shall rot. They don't even get credit as being a yachid. They are. It's b'loshon rabim, b'shem rishoyim. A tzaddik gets credit in his own right. A rasha is despised. Not only do we curse him, he's such an insignificant creature that we don't even give him a unique identity. He's just part of a collective group of other evil people. Now, who do these things? Who is the tzaddik and the rasha? We mentioned yesterday. That there are different people. Some say this, one medrash says this interprets this in reference to Pinchas and Zimri. Okay, Pinchas and Zimri. Pinchas was remembered l'shavach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the bris of shalom, and Zimri was mentioned l'gnai. The medrash quotes this pasuk. Some refer to Mordechai and Haman. Some use in reference to Noach and the Dor HaMabel. Noach was ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'dayroisav. What was the result of Noach? Zecher tzaddik levracha. At the end of the Mabel, the pasuk says, "Vayivorech Elokim es Noach, Hashem bless Noach." And Noach, after the Mabul, he was blessed. What happened to the Rishayim of his generation? Vayimach Hashem Eschol HaYikum, Hashem obliterated them off the face of the earth. So we actually see over here that in the Dor HaMabul, we actually mentioned Noach for Lebracha, and the Rishayim actually, thank you very much. And the Rishayim actually, they were destroyed. Okay, now we come to, there's another idea. That the tzaddik here, this is the gemara, this is an important gemara. The tzaddik here, just like back in the previous pasuk vav, that the brachas, the word tzaddik refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise, here in pasuk zayin, zecher tzaddik levracha also refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from this, the gemara learns that every time Hashem's name is mentioned, you mechuyiv to give bracha. In the Beis Hamikdash, when the shame Hashem was said, what happened? The people fell down on the floor and they said, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam. They gave Hashem a bracha, may his name be blessed. Baruch Shem. We imitate this on Yom HaKippurim. V'yakoinim v'yam k'sha yishem v'shashem ha'yetz v'pikoin gadol ha'yukorim v'shtachim v'aymim Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam v'ed. Why? So the Gemara says, because of this pasuk, Zecher Tzadik, when Hashem's name is mentioned, Livracha, it shall be result in bracha. The people will respond, shall say, that's why people, we say Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shema. Okay, there's a whole shaila. Is it a hefsek when it comes to a bracha? When you are making a bracha, brachas hamitz, which you want to have the kavan to be yitzah, are you allowed to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo? But if you're not being yitzah the mitzvah, indeed it's proper to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo to fulfill what it says here in this pasuk, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The ultimate tzadik is Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem Risham Yerkov. From this pasuk comes the minog of clapping Haman on Purim. Something which is a minog, holy minog in Klal Yisrael, to clap Haman. Why? For shame, Rishaim Yerkov. When Haman's name is mentioned, we want to obliterate it. In fact, the original minog was, we associate the minog of clapping by Haman is to make noise. That's not how it started. The way it started was, you have a board, a piece of paper, and his name is there. It just so happens, when in order to erase the name of Haman, you have to bang the object against some surface, which causes the name to rub out. So it just so happens the sound was a byproduct of what you were originally trying to do. We're trying to bring Rekavon, rat, to the name of Haman.
Eradicate it.
So how do you eradicate? You rub it on a surface. You rub it on a surface, it makes noise. Over time, the meaning has become corrupt, and instead of trying to obliterate Haman's name, we just try to make noise. This is the way of all minhagim. All minhagim, they start off for a piece of paper. Not from the Megillah. No, that you don't want to do. You eradicate it from a piece of paper. They write them on a block of wood, and you rub it out. And that's like a simen v'shem rishaim yirkov. Unfortunately, we have abused the minhag, and we only focus on the sound, and we make noise. And I've never seen in shul people, when we walk out of shul, that there are less hamans on paper than they were before we started. Yeah. Yeah. We have Yishabemo. They did to us. We don't remember them for lebracha. The zecher is lebracha. Zecher tzaddik for blessing. The shem risham yirkov. The name of the evil shall rot. Right. We have a mitzvah. We have a mitzvah deraisa to remember what they did. We shall remember what they did, so that when the time comes, when opportunity comes, we'll be mekayem the mitzvah mechiyas samolek. Okay. Okay. Now let's go. Okay, that pretty much. Okay, that thing pretty much covers. Okay, the Gemara gives also this also the important another halachic inyan that a person should not name a child after a rasha. Okay, this is a very difficult topic. It's all in a name. What's in a name? That the halach is, you're not allowed to name. The Gemara has a story with Doeg, the name Doeg. Doeg was one of David's friends. He was one of David's classmates. He was one of his contemporaries. But Doeg was extremely jealous of David. David was a suke shmaitz alibad hilchos. He was very successful in the Lim Beis Medrash. David was always able to come to a final halachic conclusion. Doeg was a much greater Talmud Chacham than David. Doeg was able to be mefalpel. He gave much better shiurim. He had a much bigger crowd. His kollel was much more popular. Problem was, Doeg did not come to any halachic conclusions in his shiurim. It was all philosophical. Because to mizrech la'suke shmeitza ali b'dhilchasa, you need yirah shamayim. You need to have midas tovos yirah shamayim, special siyata d'shmaya. David was not as brilliant as Doeg, but David had the yirah shamayim, reishis chochma yirah sashem. Doeg was able la'suke shmeitza ali b'dhilchasa. Therefore, Doeg was jealous, and Doeg spoke lashon hara about David. He told Shaul that he was the one that convinced Shaul that David is rebelling against you. He's a murdered by Malchus, and you have to cut him off. You have to kill him. And ad kdekach, he told Shaul that Noiv ir hakoyhanim Achimelech has rebelled against you by assisting and giving food and giving the lechem upon him and giving the sword of Goliath to David. And because of that lashon hara, Shaul he wiped out the entire city of Noiv. So the Gemara tells a story where there was a woman who had a child, and the child was sent to Cheder, and the mother adored her young child, and every single day she would measure him, his weight, and she would donate his weight to the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, everything that she did was L'shem Shamayim, was perfect. But she named him Doeg. That was his name. For whatever reason, I guess there was someone in the family whose name was Doeg, so she named him Doeg. And then the child died prematurely. In fact, he was killed with a Misa Meshunah. He was slaughtered by the Goyim. A Misa Meshunah. So she could not understand why this happened. So she went to the Rabbanon of the day, and they told her it's because he named him after a Rasha. The name Doeg goes all the way back to Doeg HaDoimi, who was an arch enemy of David HaMelech. And we don't know how these things work, but we have a pasuk, and the pasuk says v'shem rishahim yirkav, and this has some type of metaphysical power that we don't know how it works, but we have the muna. The name itself leaves a roishim on the child. The child was a tzaddik. He learned Torah. You were good to him. Everything was fine. The child has no sins. Tineka shel beis shabbat. But yet you don't want him to carry the name of a rasha. We don't understand why this works. Sisrei Torah. But and v'shem rishahim yirkav, and that's why people say very much. But to be very big, very careful exactly who, what. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a very common name is Nimrod. Nimrod is a very big name in Eretz Yisrael. Nimrod was no tzadkal, that's for sure. So, okay, how this works? Listen, on the other hand, we don't know how this is, because on the other hand, we do find people that have names that are named after Rishayim, and they live good, prosperous lives. So they don't. So these things, we don't really know how it works. There's no Raya. So you're asking a very good question. What about Yishmael? There's a Tana, Rabbi Yishmael. Does anyone have the name Yishmael? Do people have the name? Yeah?
Not now.
You don't hear anyone with the name Yishmael today? I don't know, but in Echonamis, some say that he did Shuva. He did Shuva since Yishmael in this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, we learned that Yishmael, when Avraham died, who went first? Yitzchak went before Yishmael. But Yishmael was older, so Rashi tells us this was the Seva Toiva that Hashem promised. Hashem promised Avraham, you'll die in good old age. You're not going to see any of your children go off the derech. Yishmael did tshuva in the lifetime of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham did not see Esav go off Latar B'Sura in his lifetime. So since he did tshuva, we consider Yishmael to be a tzaddik, and that's why there's no harm in naming a person by the name of Yishmael, and that's why we have one of the Kohanim Gedolim, his name indeed was Yishmael. We have a Tanaim also. Other Tanaim, whose name was Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. It's a good name. Another reason why Yishmael is an exception is because there was a name that was given by Hashem, the Malach. The Malach told Hagar, Hashem has hurled us on Yech, and you shall name him Yishmael. The name was given by a Malach. So when a human being gives a name, then it does not have that same degree, that same status, where it can be protected from harm. But a name that was given by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if the person does not turn out to be the best, it doesn't matter, he is protected from harm. Okay, these things obviously are very Kabbalistic, we don't know what it means. It's all the whole question of a person dies young. He dies young, and you want to name a person after one who died young. Is it proper to name him? Does that mean that there's a bad mazel? A mazel, the person will die young, and giving another person that name is not good. There are different opinions about this. One thing is for sure, that once a person lives over the age of 60, I've heard this from many people, once a person lives over 60, the question does not even begin. There's no issue whatsoever of naming a person after someone who died. It's not called dying young. Even though in today's day and age, if a person is expected to live at least 130, anything less than that is it's premature death. And I'm not joking, but Baruch Hashem, we live in different times. Today, the new 80 is the new 30.
Not quite. Not quite.
And But over the age of six, in Chazal's eyes, is not a problem. What? That's the age of Karis and Echadayim. But even Karis, we don't know what these things. You can't say the person dies before 60 is high of Karis. No one can say. No one can ever Chas Shalom say. We don't know what these things mean. Okay, there are other issues. What?
He was older than 60, then he wasn't high of Karis.
Okay, that you can say. The good you can say. Okay, then there's also an issue of adding a name. People, they like to add a name. So there's a hakpad that you have to add the name, I think, before, if I'm not mistaken. Before, let's say a person dies young, or a person had a very difficult life, and a relative wants to name a child after that person. But so that he's advised, don't give him the same, give him the name, but add another name. So I think there's a hakpad that you have to give, the added name should be first, not after. Okay, these are Kabbalistic inyanim, but the shoresh for all of these Kabbalistic inyanim all comes from this pasuk, v'shem rishahim yirkav. Pasuk in Mishlei, the name of the wicked should rot. You don't want that mazel, that supernatural kayach looming over the child coming from a name.
So if someone doesn't use the name of someone in the family who died young for whatever reason, then you're saying he's akin to being a Russia.
No, Chas v'Shalom. It's an extension of this concept that just like we find in the most extreme example, we have a Russia, and v'shem Risham Yirkov, the wickedness of the Russia extends to his name. That is an extreme example. Likewise, a person that's a tzaddik but did not have success in life. Reya Mazle. He didn't have good mazel. Things just did not work out for him in life. So perhaps that bad mazel overflows to his name, just like in the extreme example. What?
Is that why somebody who's on pus when he's very old, they add a name?
That's a different, that Shina is another concept. Shinu Shem, he has a new tafkin in life. That's a different idea. That's a different idea. You give him now a new role in life, a new purpose in life. You want to say he take away his bad mazel because of the shame. It doesn't necessarily mean that the name that he had was evil. It just means that he has fulfilled that mission in life. And now we're giving him a new name, which means that Hashem will give him a new purpose in life. When a person finishes his tafkid, then it's time to go. I have a new purpose. I'm being given a new shame, which basically means sabakosha Hashem to give this person a new tafkid in this world, in order to keep him around for many, many more years. Okay, and then we all, of course, and then you go to the opposite idea is whatever you say when it comes to Ra, al achas kam v'kam, when it comes to Toiv, to name a person after a tzaddik. You want the mazel of the tzaddik to be mashpia upon the person. Okay, let's go to another idea. This also idea of a Shemesham Yirkov is also the Zecher Tzadik Levrach of a Shemesham Yirkov. I told you already, Haman and Mordechai, Pinchas and Zimri. One other example, and this really is one of the main sources for this idea, and it was last week's parasha, Avraham and the people of Sodom. And this is a Gemara. Okay, we're going to a Gemara Masechet Yoma on Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara asks the question, how indeed do you know this concept of Zecher Tzadik Levracha? First Gemara, Menoha Milsa Dom Rabbanan Zecher Tzadik Levracha. The Gemara says, we learn it from Avraham. Hashem says, V'Hashem Omar, HaMechas Ani Me'Avraham, Asher Ani Oisa. Am I going to conceal from Avraham what I'm planning to do to the people of Sodom? And then what's the next pasuk? The Avraham hayo yihyeh legoy gadol v'yotzum v'rav. Avraham will become a very great nation. So once Hashem mentioned the name of Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already praised Avraham, already told us what it's going to be of Avraham. And then when it mentions Sodom, it says about Sodom, v'yehal atz, this goes back to the beginning of Lech Lecha, going back to previous parasha, when Lot separated from Avraham, v'yehal ad Sodom, What's the very next pasuk? The Anshei Sidoim Chatoim Ra'im V'Chatoim LaHashem Me'od. Extremely evil people. Once Hashem already mentioned Sodom, Hashem tells us about their evil deeds. So you see, Mamdus of Gemara Masechta Yoma, where the Gemara Mamash brings to life in a very powerful way this pasuk of Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha V'Shem Hashem Yirkav Tzadik Shemem for Bracha, and a Rasha should rat. On a Matseva, we give a Bracha. On a Matseva, what is a Matseva? A Matseva is the name of the person. Okay, today we embellish Matsevas with all of these beautiful expressions, all these incredible things. There was a computer. There was a guy who devoted his whole life to computers, and he died. So he was one of the pioneers in the internet of teaching going online, and he died. So he instructed what his tombstone should say, just one word: offline. Oh, that was what it said. So today it's become if you go online, it's very strange what some non-religious people, what they write or they have on their matzemis. Some make out of it a big joke. It's just one big joke. But Baruch Hashem, I mean, by Klal Yisrael, the minhag today became some very beautiful things. Now the truth is, a matzeva, that was not what it was meant to be. It was just meant to be a stone, a marker with no name. No name is a mace in Zehu. Okay, but we know that when it comes to Rivka, this week's parsha, Marsa Machpela, we know that it became more than that. You actually write the person's name on the kever, so you can go and give him a spalo by Kivrei Ovis. But to go and embellish it, and to write Hespedim, and to write Aho, and all of these very lavish praises, that is something which is new. That is a recent, a modern phenomenon. This what? Yeah.
Quoting a pasuk.
A whole pasuk. Okay. So there are many different issues. But one thing that is done today is that on the very bottom of almost every matzeva, it says the letters Tehei Nishmasai Tzruda B'Tzorachaim. Why? Why do you have to write that? Because of this pasuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. If you're already putting down his name, the name already is being put on the matzeva, then you should bless him. What is the ultimate blessing to give him? Well, you can't wish him long life because he's no longer here, obviously. Yeah. So the best bracha you can wish the dead is Tehei Nishmasai Tzerura B'Tzor HaChaim. That is the most beautiful bracha you can give a non-living person. What?
Good afterlife.
Right, good afterlife. So that's the bracha. Those letters is a fulfillment of Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We're not assuming anyone is on every one of the Amech Kulam Tzadikim. And that's why we put those letters on the bottom of every matzeva.
What's it in terms of that bracha?
Yeah.
When you say Tzorachayim,
yeah, and Olam Chaim, yeah, the real life, yeah, Olam Haba, yes, of course. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvot Ve'Evil Svasam Yilovet. The wise of heart takes mitzvot for himself. Ve'Evil the foolish lips Yivolet. Yivolet means, I'm sorry, Yilovet. The foolish person, he withers away, okay, or he wears himself out. There are different translators. Let's see over here, the mitzvah of the pasuk ches, yikach mitzos, yikachem b'chol es. He takes mitzvot every opportunity, v'lo yechtal b'lakach, he does not withhold himself milakachas from taking mitzvot. Aval he'avil the fool miyageya. So the Mitsudos translates the Miyagea, he toils. He wears, he becomes tired. Miyagehu hasifosayim, levad loymar harbe, ve'ena oisem luma. Mamish, out of this week's parsha. His lips, the avil sifosayim yivolate, his lips become tired from telling you all of the good things that he's going to do, but the end is, he doesn't do any kicha. It's all talk, no action. We're contrasting the avil with the Chacham Lev. The Chacham Lev is yikach, action. action. He accomplishes things. The avil, his lips are moving. His lips are moving. Talk, all talk, no action. Who is the ultimate source of all talk, no action? This week's parasha, Ephron Hachiti. He tells Avram Avinu, come into the Beis HaKvaris, take whatever you want, everything is for free. Take it all, it's all for you. And what happens? He took from him Arba Meos Shekel Kesef Beinu Vein Chamahi. I once came across a safe which made a calculation, silver comes out that in today's day and age it's about $3 million. The amount of silver that is found in Arba Meos Shekel, based upon our knowledge of what the Shkolim of the Avraham and all the measurements, whatever it was. But approximately, according to a reliable source, $3 million for a kever. You think Harazes what?
You couldn't buy that for $3 million.
What? Today you couldn't buy it. But today the most expensive kever on Harazesim is not $3 million. What?
Very cheap.
Harazesim? Because no one wants to go there. Afraid to go. So, but the prices are nowhere near. Okay, they take an arm and a leg, but
it's such a bullshit that they let them do that.
$3 million. Okay, all talk, no action. So this pasuk is in reference. This pasuk is perfect for this week's parasha, Ephron Hachiti. Now, let's see Rashi. Rashi says Chacham Levi Kach Mitzvos Moshe. Who does he refer to a lot of midrashim on this? Moshe, the one that's the Chacham Levi, the wise of heart, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael Hayoyskin Bizas Mitzrayim Vehu Hayoyskin B'Mitzvah Shenemar Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef. Everyone was busy with money at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with the bones of Yosef, and that's why he's called the Chacham Leif. Ezeo Chacham Haroya Es Hanoilat, someone that sees what's coming ahead. Why do we refer to Moshe Chacham Leif? Because when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, this is a vart, I think Rav Chutner. Rav Chutner explained this in detail. Rav Chutner explains is when they came to Kriyas Yamsuf, it says that the Yam refused to split. When they came to the Yam, the Yam refused to split for Klal Yisrael. So what happened? Vayar Hayom Vayonus Ma Ra Aroyne Shel Yosef, the Aron of Yosef. So Rav Chutner asks, why? What was special about the Aron of Yosef that the Yam split for the Aron? I know the problem was Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael at the 40th level of Tumah. Why should we split? The miracle would be done. Gzuntad for Klal Yisrael. Aroyne Shel Yosef. What does this mean? So Rav Chutner explains that it could very well be that at this moment in time the Jewish people have schusim. Dan Pesach, Dan Mila, they have Emuna, Vayamein Ha'am, but what is going to be in the future? Al Biderech HaTeva, the Jewish people will assimilate. They're not going to be able to withstand the Nisyonos of assimilation. And over time, maybe it'll take 100 years, 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, it's going to happen. And therefore, let's stop it now, I'm not willing to split. It saw the Aroyne Shel Yosef. Yosef was the one that was able to overcome the Nisoyon of assimilation in the nth degree with Eshes Potiphar. He was all alone, 17 years, all alone. He was a young man, a Chazal tell us, Talpi Derech HaTeva. It is humanly impossible for a person to be living in such a Nisoyon.
It's not the only Nisoyon. Okay,
yeah.
The Nisoyon of the person of power.
Okay, but this was even worse for a person who here was a slave, who was in a dungeon. He was being seduced all alone. He has no family, no support, and someone of his age. The Al Pi Derech HaTeva, Chazal tell us, it's not humanly possible for a person to be oymed in such a nisayon. Yet Yosef was able, supernaturally, he was able to overcome this nisayon. That the overcoming of that nisayon didn't just create, wasn't just a zchus for himself. He created in Klal Yisrael this power that, yes, indeed, Klal Yisrael as a whole, He may, maybe not on an individual level, because we know that in America, unfortunately, the rate of intermarriage is way over 50%. Some say it's even 75%. But as a whole, Klal Yisrael as a whole are guaranteed to overcome the nisayon of intermarriage to survive. Where does that come from? Who is the one that put this need in Klal Yisrael? Yosef HaTzadik. Not Avraham, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov. Avraham gave us Chesed, Yitzchak gave us Avod, Yaakov gave us Emes. Each one of the others contributed in their unique way. Yosef contributed with the koyach that Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza. When the day is over, Klal Yisrael will be able to shelter themselves from the nisyonos of the outside world, at least to the degree where we will survive. Vayonas, therefore, when the Yam saw the Arona Shal Yosef, so it had a guarantee there will be a Klal Yisrael until the time of Mashiach. Okay, I'm willing to split. Who is the one that foresaw this entire sequence of events? What is necessary for the future? Now is good, but the future is shaky, and we need an antidote. We need something to guarantee our survival. That was Moshe. And that is why Moshe here in this episode is called the Chacham Lev. What is a Chacham? A Zehu Chacham. Haroye Es Hanoilad. The future, what the Lev is in the future, the guarantee that there should be a future. The guarantee, because if you see the future, you want to guarantee there's going to be a future. So this Harav Chutner explains this Pasuk, Chacham Lev, Yikach Mitzvos, Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu, he took the Atzmos Yosef when everyone else was busy taking the Bizas Mitzrayim. This is the true Bizas Mitzrayim. The Chassam Sof, I think it was the Chassam Sof, many other Rebbes also, we know that there's a minute that you're supposed to put on the table, the night of the Pesach Seder, you're supposed to put on the table your finest, your best kelim, gold and silver, any all of the nicest kelim you have in the house, you're supposed to use at the Seder. Why? Zecher for the Bizas Mitzrayim. The spoils of Egypt. So some of the Gedolim, they put on the table their Sfarim. They felt that their Chidushim, the things that they've toiled, they've worked on, this is the ultimate Bizas Mitzrayim. This is what we have gained by leaving Mitzrayim, the opportunity to be Mekabel the Torah and to serve Hashem. It's the Bizas that there's in the way of Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzos. They're taking for themselves things that are more valuable than money. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw the true value of the Atzamos.
So and, how come Yosef wasn't Zohar that his children should survive? Menashe and Ephraim are part of the 10 lost tribes.
Well, not, well.
Sitkes, why wasn't he?
Well, okay, that's a tough question. The Chazal do tell us that even though the Aseres Hashvatim, as a majority, disappeared, there are Yechidim left from every single. There are left from every single Shevet. There, every today, living in among us, there is definitely the remnants of every one of the 12 Shvatim. As a whole, as a majority, 95% of the people living among us must be from Shevet, Binyamin, and Yehuda. But from the other members of Klal Yisrael, there are definitely survivors and remnants of the other Shvatim. So you can't say anyone ever disappeared. And then there's another question, will the Aseres Hashvatim, will they return? Will they reappear? That's another debate in the Gemara which is unresolved. But even if you want to learn the Tzad, they're not going to come back, but we definitely still have remnants. So Yosef's descendants are still here at Hayom HaZeh. There's another very important, beautiful measure of Shemos Rabbah that it gives us the answer to the question, the secret. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu Zocha that Hashem himself buried him? The only one that was buried directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moshe. Even Aaron was buried by Har HaHar, was buried by Moshe. But the one that was buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayikbor Oso Vagai, Mul Beis Pa'ar, was Moshe. That's what we've laid on Simchas Torah, the very last part of the Torah. Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikbor Oso Vagai. How would Moshe Rabbeinu merit this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buried him? The Medrash of Shemos Rabbah tells us it's because of Yosef took the Moshe took the Atzmos Yosef. And the Medrash goes on, explains in detail that Bishloima Yosef, he took the bones of Yaakov to Mitzrayim. That was a lot of hard work. According to the law of the land, it was illegal it was illegal to leave to take a body out of Egypt. For Yosef to be able to take Yaakov's body and return it to Eretz Canaan was a feat, was magic. He had to cut all the red tape in order to be permitted to take Yaakov's body. But the Midrash,
7 years.
What?
7 years to cut the red tape.
How many years?
Seven.
No, he did it right away.
That's a long time.
70 days, right after he died.
Nobody knew where it was.
No.
They have different midrash, and there could be the conflicting midrash. The Pashtun Pesukim is he did it right away. He died immediately. He took immediately. For 70 days. 70 days. And then they brought him right away to Eretz Yisrael. That's the symbol reading of the Pashtun Pesukim. So the Medrash says that Bishlam, Yaakov, Yosef, he worked very hard in order to bury Yaakov. Well, that's because it's his father. And a child has a duty to bury his father. It's his obligation, it's his duty in life. But Moshe Rabbeinu has absolutely no duty to bury Yosef. He's not even a great-great-grandchild. He's from a different line altogether. He was buried in the Nile. In the Nile. He had absolutely no duty, no obligation whatsoever. Akaris Hatov.
Because Yosef exempted all the Kevin Levi from doing work.
So Moshe Rabbeinu was Nene. So let me read you what it says in this fascinating Medrash Mos Rabbah. It says Bizman Shekol Yisrael Hayo Asukim Mekesev Vizahav Yil Moshe Yosef Batzmos Yosef Shenemar Vayikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Alecha Niskayim, upon you has been fulfilled what Shlomo one day write Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvahs Yosef Hayechayev Le'aviv Le'kavro. Yosef cut all the red tape in order to bury his father. You know why? Mibnei Shu Bino. Because that's the duty of a child towards his father. But the Ata you Moshe, Lo Bino, V'loi Ben Bino, V'lo Hayisachayiv La'aseibo. You have no obligation to bury Yosef. And yet, the Afal Pichein Kovarta Oiso. You went to the effort. Nida Kenegid Midi. You know what? I'm going to reward you. I myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kaviyachol, is going to bury Yosef, Moshe. V'chein ani shani chayiv l'shum she'eni v'achein ani. Hashem says concerning himself, she'eni chayiv l'shum bria. I have no obligation to bury human beings. But with you, I'm going to make an exception. Ani metapel b'chavi ek bercho shenemar vayikber osobera. So that's where it comes from. This that Moshe Rabbeinu was zocher to kivura. Okay, now one other thing over here. It says in the word the evil sefasim yilaveit, the fool, his lips are tired from promising, making empty promises. There's another medrash that says that the word yilaveit, I only say because the medrash, so if it would be chassidus shavar, I want to tell this to you, but it darshes the word yilaveit as a nutrikin. Now, it's not your typical nutrikin. Normally, we have a nutrikin of four letters, or in this word, you have each letter stands for another word. But here, they're trying to preserve the environment, so they're going to shorten the nutrigen. Lo yavo tame. It's not in order. The test is tame. The lamed is lo, and the yud base. Even though the yud and the base are separated by the lamed, they're both the major syllables of the word yavo. Yavo. So this. These words are, they stand for Lo Yavo Tame. Who does this refer to? This refers to Lot. Carry first, now what's the whole medrash? The Lot was the one that should have told his daughters no. I'll read you the whole medrash. Ze Lot. This is Bereishis Rabba. Okay, Nun Beis Gimel. The Avil Sefasaim Yilovate, the fool. Who's the fool? Lot. Not too pleasant to be called a fool by the Medrash. Zelot. Shahoya Avil Bisfasaf. He was foolish with his lips. Shahoya Tsarich Lema Libnoisav Davar Shaloka Boha Oilam Anu Bom La Saisa. The whole world was destroyed because of Noach. Vayochel Noach Ishwadama. The world was destroyed because of wine, because of znus, not because of wine, because of znus. I'm sorry, I'm confusing. The marble and stone was destroyed because of znus. No, that he was. That's why he was destroyed. That's the next part of the pasuk. Where are you getting chamos? There are two things. That is correct. The gzardin was gezel, but the pasuk says vatimole haaretz vatishoches haaretz. And Rashi there says they were nichshel in arayos. Even the animals were mizdavek be'enam minay. Even the animals were nichshel in arayos. They were affected by the immorality of the people. So here he says that Sodom and Dor HaMabul were destroyed because of Arayos, at least to some degree. And now you, my daughters, want to be nichshol in Arayos. You want to have illicit relations with your father. So according to the Medrash, Lot knew very good and well exactly what was going on with his daughters, what they were doing to him when they were giving, when making him intoxicated. And he didn't care. He let them do it. Therefore, as a punishment, what happened? Lo yavoi amoini umayavi b'kahal Hashem. Amoin Umoyov are not accepted into Klal Yisrael. The exception is Amoini v'loy Amoinis, Moyov v'loy Amoyovis, Rus and Amba. But the Medrash is an amazing Medrash because it opens up to us this idea that had Lot not have been Nichshol with his daughters, had his daughters had children in a permissible way, what would have happened? Time would have passed, they would have discovered the world did not come to an end, they would have carried on, and they would have married men that they were allowed to marry, they would have had children. From those children would have come Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach, would have come a Rus, would have come a Rus HaMalviah, would have come a Nama, and the complications of David being illegitimate would have not come about because Amon Umoyev would have been allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. They would have not been... What?
Their children would have had those names then.
Okay, they would have different names, but according to this, the Medrash is telling us that the entire history would have been different. This, that they're cursed. Lo yavoi amoini umaovi b'kahal Hashem v'asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvayayin. They had bad midos. They had bad midos. Balechem v'mayim. Sorry, balechem when I say balechem uvayayin. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. They had bad midos. They had bad character. Now this, all these Mamari Chazal, they link one into the other. Yeah. Where does bad midos come from? Arayos. Chazal tell us that a person has bad midos, check into him, it could very well be that he's nichshol in Arayos. That he's doing things that he should not be doing. These two things are two sides of the same coin. Being nichshol in Arayos and bad midos go together. Amon Umoav are the nations that are described with the bad midos. Well, it's not a surprise. Where do they come from? They came from Lot and his daughters. That what?
That's the thing. The Midrashim conflict as to who had a good or bad motivation. Whether it was Benos Lot who had good or bad motivation. And here you're bringing in...
Both. Here we are saying they're both guilty. The daughters of Lot are certainly guilty. According to this Medrash, the Brei Shrab, this is standard Medrash. Lot was also guilty. He was kobel. He knew what was going on. According to this version, he is responsible. And because of that, the result was a nation, two nations with bad midos. Bad midos cannot be part of Klal Yisrael. That's this week's parasha. Why did Avram tell Eliezer not to marry not to take from Benos Karl?
Esav didn't come from Arayos,
and they cannot. Esav came from a legitimate marriage. He married the daughter of Yishmael.
He himself didn't come from.
What do you mean? That's why Esav's descendants are allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. There's no ban on Gerim from Esav. The descendants of Esav are allowed. What? They're wicked. They're wicked, but they're allowed to be part of Klal Yisrael. The descendants of Esav are trying to destroy us. But if one of their descendants wants to become part of us, are they accepted? Yes, they're accepted. They can convert. But if one of the nations of Amon Umoav wants to convert, are they accepted? No. Lo yavoi Amon Umoav b'kahalo. Why not? We'll go to this week's parasha. This week's parasha, Avraham tells Eliezer, you may not take a child from Canaan. I want you to go back to Aram Naharaim. And all the commentators tell us the same reason, because the people here have bad midos. The people in Aram Naharaim, they may be idolaters, but they have good midos. Yeah?
But
What about Levon? He has good genes.
Yeah.
So to say, what if he had not done?
Hashem doesn't plan. No.
Come then of that, then becomes highly.
When we look back in time, so we say this was all meant to be. But when you go at every moment in time, everyone has bechira chavshes. Lot, according to the Medrash, this is consistent with our hashkafa at the time. Lot had free will. Lot knew what was going on. He knew his daughters were drugging him up. He knew what was going on. He allowed it. Because he allowed it, he fathered two nations that are not accepted part of Klal Yisrael. Why? The Pasuk says, because they have bad midos. This is perfectly consistent with everything else that Chazal tell us, that bad midos are rooted in Arayos. What was the result? Who from that came? David and Nama. David and Nama were problematic. And there was enormous collateral damage in letting them come back into Klal Yisrael and serving as the king, serving as facilitating the coming of Mashiach. Enormous collateral damage. The Medrash says, Chaval, 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 we could have stopped all of this in the very beginning. If only Lot would not have been Nichshol in Arayos, then his daughters would have married, would have gone out into the world, would have married two ordinary Kolyngleit. Right? Would have married two people, who knows, in Lakewood, would have found a Shidduchim, and then they would have had children. They wouldn't be Jewish, they would be Goyim, but they would be no worse than Esau's children. And then one day they would convert, and they would come into Klal Yisrael, and their descendants would facilitate the coming of Mashiach, and Mashiach would have been here a lot earlier, because we would not be dealing with all of this collateral damage. So who is the one that caused all the problem? Lot. And here, all of this entire story is all rooted and condensed into these few words, the Evil Sifosayim Yilavet, that foolish person, Lot, he is the Evil, because of his lips did not say no to his daughters. Now Yilavet is Nutrikin, according to the Medrash, Lo Yavoi Tamei. You, Lot, and your daughters, the product of this union, will not be allowed. Lo Yavoi Amoini Umoavi Bikahal Hashem. The Amoini and the Moavi over here are summarized with one word, Tamei. Lo Yavoi Tamei may not come into Klal Yisrael. Now we got a big problem, because we need someone from Lot's family to come back to Klal Yisrael to bring Melech HaMashiach. And if he can't come, we're going to have to find a way in, a back door. And the back door is going to be Amoini, Amvloy Amoinis, Moyavi Vloy Moyavis. And that whole backdoor process is a very difficult process, which has collateral damage, and that's why Mashiach has not yet come until now.
So why was Lot zayich that Mashiach should come from him?
Because he came from Haran. Haran was, the Chazal say, gave up his life, Al Kiddush Hashem. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the furnace, and nothing happened, a miracle happened. He survived. So Haran said, look, my brother was thrown into the fire and he survived, so I'm also going to go into the fire. Now, even though that was not L'shem Shemayim, but the bottom line is, when you throw yourself into the fire, even though this guy came out, what are the chances I'm going to come out? What are the chances I'm going to come out? If you go to a magic show and you see the magician take a sword and stab someone through the heart and he's still talking, so will you volunteer? Yeah, you do the same thing to me. I trust you. I trust you, right? Are you willing to trust? No, you're not. So why then did Haran allow himself to be thrown into the fire? Because of the pintaliyid. Because he realized a small amount that, you know something, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and I'm going to give up my life L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the first person to die Al Kiddush Hashem. The first person. And in the merit of that, his descendants are going to be the one that will be instrumental in bringing Melech HaMashiach. From him comes Lot, Avram. That's why Avram had no choice but to take Lot along. He had to take care of this person's child. And then from Lot came Amon Umov. Amon Umov comes David and Nama. From that comes Melech HaMashiach.
What's this thing with Nama? What did she ever do?
She married Nama. What was her merit?
Yeah.
What was her merit? Shlomo found something good about her.
I know.
He went out with her.
Her son was
and
so
he
good.
Said, I'm going to aid you. I'm going to add you. You make a queen.
Same category with Ruth.
Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech. There was many generations later on. That's what Gemara says. That because the second daughter, the Tzeira, delayed in living with her father more than the older daughter. That's why it took many generations later. Ruth came into Klal Yisrael. I don't know how many 10 generations, 5 generations earlier than Naamah, because one night. Look at what difference between 24 hours can do. A difference of 24 hours can result in a difference of hundreds of years. Little microscopic things blossom into things that are way beyond our knowledge. Okay, we will stop here.